James. This is James Inman with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. And we've got a great show tonight. We have John Vivanco. He's actually doing a remote viewing workshop here this weekend, and it's just been amazing. So we're going to cover some of the things there. We still have Peter Slattery with us with East Eddy Australia, and he's filmed some amazing things. So we're going to combine the two and cover this. And maybe we can look at some other things, too, and find out what else is going on in this multidimensional universe. I wanted to cover a few things. I'm getting just inundated with emails about, you know, the closure of the solar observatories and things of that nature. And there are people that are using infrared cameras and filming the sun. And you can see a whole fleet of ships there coming through the sun, around the sun. Some of these ships are 6th through 13th dimensional beings coming in right now. So, you know, the powers that were do not want you to know about this, and do not want you to know that we're about ready to join the rest of the universe, and whether we like it or not. But anyway, it's a plan that's been orchestrated for eons, and the planetary liberation is on, and it's multidimensional, and we need to realize that. So you can sign up for the newsletter. The latest newsletter has the videos of these ships and what's happening there. I know the cover story is some guy in the basement had child porn on his computer, so they closed the whole town down. They closed down the post office and quarantined the whole area off, and brought in black helicopters to arrest a janitor. So I don't think that one's going to fly, you know, in the face of you know, reality. But there's a bunch of stories that are going out there. But I think the bottom line is that people are seeing what's going on. The sun's going through massive changes, and the ships are there. And I think we're getting a lot of divine intervention to help us out through these times. And so there's more to that story. But anyway, just to cut out one, we do have Skywatch Weekend still open here at the ranch. We're still doing transpersonal release sessions, although those are pretty booked up. But there's still a lot going on here at the ranch, and we're just getting amazing activity as far as the UFOs and filming. We just had a Chinese crew here that got to see some massive power-ups and shifts, and we got all that on film. So ESET is going to be going to China, it looks like, in the very near future. So some other events coming up. So it looks like you know, we've got East Eddy Australia, we've got East Eddy over there in Ireland, we've got a lot of different East Eddies popping up, we've got East Eddy Japan, and who knows, maybe we'll have an East Eddy in China here pretty soon. So yeah, things are really coming together, everybody's coming together. I know all the world leaders are aware of what's going on, and a lot of them are part of the bigger plan, the bigger picture, and things are going to be really different than you think, you know. So if you depend on the lamestream media and the powers that were to inform you and to protect you and to guide you and to be your saviors, you might as well just throw that idea in the trash, because that's it's not happening. There's going to be a total turnover. And it's going to be the opposite of what most people think. You know, a lot of people are actually, you know, they have Stockholm syndrome. They're actually, you know, protecting and fighting for their very enslavers, not realizing the true nature of these people. So all that's going to be revealed. The masks are going to come down probably within this next month, and there's going to be a lot of surprises. So, you know, stay tuned and forget about the lamestream media. You're not going to get the truth there, you know, from CNN or any of these other ones. They should call CNN DNN, the Draconian News Network, because that's pretty much what it is. But anyway, without any further ado, I want to bring John on. John, welcome to the show again.
Thanks, James. Glad to be here.
Yeah, there's so many things we can cover. I don't know where you want to start, but you did some remote viewing of the sun and what was happening
with
the observatories.
Okay, wait. I want to back up a little bit.
Okay.
Can I back up?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
not too far, though.
I was thinking about the you know, this whole shift change that's going on, and I was thinking about every 4 years or so, we remote view the elections, right? So we remote view who's going to be president. We remote view the emotional reaction at the moment they realize the outcome, and we do it for each group. And every 4 years we do this, you know, we get a clear person who's really happy, and we get a clear person who is a little bit sad. in the past, it's always been that person who's sad, upset. It's okay still because there's always this indication that the plan goes on within our remote viewing data. Mm-hmm. So there's it's no big deal. Now, with this last one that we did, you know, we viewed this probably about 3 months before the election, and it was clear that Trump was going to win, very happy. But the weird part, the data that I thought was strange, was that the data had Hillary Clinton ballistic. And mm-hmm. and some of the viewers were describing her as being behind bars. And when I saw that data, I thought, this is odd because it's unlike the other stuff. And so I started to wonder and think that, gosh, can this guy really be on the outside of that whole system? Mm-hmm. And the way things seem to – so I follow this with amazingly close interest, what's happened now. And it seems like he really truly is on the outside of this whole thing. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. Yeah. I was going to bring that up. Sunspot.
Yeah. Well, before we finish on that, I wanted to say that when you – the protocols for remote viewing, you don't give people, here's Hillary, here's Trump. Or, yeah. All you do is just give them a number.
Somebody can see the objective and
– Yeah, yeah. So, so there's no front loading at all. And people are just looking at a number and then they're given information. So.
Right. It's – yes. It's so the remote viewer cannot make up anything. You know, they're blind. We call it blind to the target or blind to the objective.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how that works. Yeah. So anyway, fascinating. I thought it was really fascinating. I'm watching it with keen interest at the moment. I always thought, I never voted because I always thought it was just, you know, these two sides against each other was just a show for everybody. Mm-hmm. Really just two sides of the same coin. Seems a little different this time. Anyway, when we get the sunspot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was weird. Well, I'll tell you, we looked at that, and what we didn't get was some dude downloading porn on his computer in the basement, the janitor, you know, in between sweeping or cleaning the toilet. Nope, none of that. We didn't get Chinese using it as a platform for spying on White Sands or anything like that. And, you know, I actually find it really interesting because you've got – the original Chinese story, if you know, if you have no intuition, it sounds really plausible, right?
Yeah.
But then they bring in this other story, and they claim that's from the court dockets, which is even more bizarre than the Chinese story, because why would they bring in helicopters and then evacuate everybody in the whole area? Anyway, so what we saw, we looked at this, did a little project with remote viewing, and it all had to do with the sun. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had data that, okay, for one thing, it looks like the sun is changing in some way. It was as though the sun is kind of hardened up to a point, right? Mm-hmm. And there's one area where it's ballooning out, and something is coming out of it. And we did get some alien-type activity, but we didn't get too deep into that. Most of the viewing focused specifically on what's going on with the sun. And somebody within that facility was very aware of it, a bunch of people very aware of it, but somebody was telling other people and spreading the word at least throughout the area that they lived in this mm-hmm. sunspot community. And so that was... and beginning to, you know, talk about it to people outside of it as well. So I think what happened was they removed the people, evacuated, and then they basically debriefed them and then had them sign something so mm-hmm. they don't talk about it.
Yeah, non-disclosure.
Yeah, non-disclosures. So, yeah, it was clearly – it was all with the sun. It's all we got, data about the sun.
Was there anything referring to, like, a solar flash or anything in the data or just –
so it was the beginnings of something large.
Yeah.
You know, it was like this bubble coming up. It's like coming out between this hard spot in the sun mm-hmm. is how the viewers are describing it. And it's getting larger and larger. So when you talk about and you have the videos of the crafts
and everything
getting in the way, I can imagine that that's another aspect to this, even though the viewers didn't go into it. Because mm-hmm. we did get bits and pieces of the alien stuff on the edges.
Well, I know that you watch suns will actually birth a new planet. and it'll come out of the sun. It'll find a cradle orbit, and it's just a hot gaseous ball of energy. And then as more material starts forming around the outside and it starts cooling down, it creates a crust. And when they're looking at planets forming out in the rest of the universe, they see the crust is not entirely intact yet, and there's light shooting out right. at the cracks and everything else. So they know that is how planets form. So there's a lot of prophecies about a second sun too as well. So this might fit into that category. I'm just saying that's a possibility.
And the solar flash as
I haven't looked into that.
In some of the ancient texts as well. Yeah, so active times.
And I know also too, they've blocked, we have NASA photographs of ships that are bigger than the Earth parked in front of the sun. And when a solar event happens, they actually expand their fields and block the energy. So on several occasions, from my understanding is that they've intervened on that, and coming from the beings themselves, they've also helped us with the pole shift. The poles were moving, they're moving very rapidly, a physical pole shift, and they actually grabbed it and pulled it back, you know, and so they've done that twice, I guess. So they're actually blocking these kill shots would put us all back in the dark ages, and they're doing other work as well. But it definitely is going to take a lot more remote viewing, a lot more investigation to get to the crux of the matter and find out exactly what is going on.
Well, yeah, here's another oddity. So in Arizona, the Vatican took over a sacred, I think it was Apache site,
yes,
a mountain.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and they installed, I think with the University of Arizona, a telescope on this site, and they run it, predominantly they run it, and the acronym for the telescope is called Lucifer, which is fascinating. So we started to remote view, you know, why, what was their interest? What was their main interest in setting up a telescope? What are they looking for? You know, I mean, you would think they're not just looking for stars, and it's not just all this random stuff. The data was very focused on they are looking for specifically an approaching object, and it's got to do with their prophecies. Which is really unbelievable.
Yeah, so wormwood. They're looking for wormwood. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we then tasked the remote viewers on what this object would do physically, how it would affect the Earth, it was fire and brimstone. It was everything from the Bible, you know, or from the prophecies happening on the Earth. It was really fascinating. So these sites are. They've got to be controlled to a certain degree, every single one of them, because of what people in those stations can find.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I just sent a video. It was really interesting. I guess David Hetcher Childress or whatever, all these guys went to the Grand Canyon. And there's an area there where the rivers converge. I think it's the Little Colorado and the Colorado River converge. And that's where supposedly these giant caves are. And they found all kinds of artifacts, you know, Tibetan artifacts, Buddhist artifacts, Chinese, Egyptian, in these caves. And I guess the Smithsonian took it over and took everything out, and we never heard about it. But they went on an expedition to go and find this place, and they found exactly where it was. And they got right up to the rim of the canyon, and all of a sudden they saw this road on the other side of the river coming up to the canyon, and all these semis and everything, and these helicopters going back and forth, dropping down and landing right at that spot. And so there's some major operation there, and it's on the reservation. And and so they looked into it and they tried to find out how could they do that. And I guess they paid somebody off or something, but there's a major operation going on there. And I don't know if they were getting ready for some big event to happen, or if they took over that whole cave network for some other reason, who knows?
But you can't even, I mean, since the legends of that, you can't even get in there at all. I mean, that's all off limits, that whole area. Yeah. I know we looked at that before too with remote viewing to find out if that claim was true. And as far as I've seen with the data, it's true. He found what he claimed to have found.
I know Clifford Mahudi, he is an elder with the Zuni Nation, and he went with them, and he had, you know, some pull and was getting into these places. And they got to a certain point, and it was just like, you know, they said, it's time to pack it up. Yeah. You know, we can't go any further if we want to not end up behind bars or whatever.
Right.
But, there's so many things going on that we're not being told about. You wonder when that full transparency is going to parents is going to happen, especially with the secret space fleet and everything else. I know Trump kind of opened the can of worms and said that we are going to start our secret space fleet and everything else. And he's basically just kind of letting us know that we already have it. All of a sudden they go, oh, look what we just built. And they're going to roll it out. And we probably built it 30 right. years ago. Because we've been going back and forth to the Mars since the late 60s.
Yeah.
And so that's going on. But I want to switch to a little different subject and bring Peter on this. And Peter was here, and he's been filming a lot of daylight craft over the ranch. But one of the weirdest ones was, what would you call that you filmed?
Man, I just call it like serpent? A sky worm? Serpent. Yeah, something like that. I've got similar stuff in Australia before. Mexico gets a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I was showing John earlier, my mate Antonio Urzi. He gets like a lot of crazy stuff, like a Barney's and weird stuff like that as well. But yeah, this is crazy. There was five. You were there watching me film it.
Yeah.
As it was happening. But yeah, there's objects within it. And I'll pass it over to John for a sec, because what's trippy, I didn't know, I'm doing the remote viewing course. I've been doing it for about 8 years, but I hadn't been doing it the way John's done it. It's just to glean more tools and learn more. And that was one of our targets today.
Yeah.
So do you want to tell them what you got from it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so the students did it. So I don't know how many viewers, 16 people did this. Student viewers. Actually, there's some experienced viewers here too. Yeah, that was weird. I mean, it's hard to find context for something that you have no context for. I mean, especially with remote viewing data. And so you have to look for commonalities between the sessions in order to understand what it is. And one of the things that I saw over and over again is this combination of a sentient structure. So this is a biological being flying in the sky, but at the same time, it is a structure. It's kind of strange. So that was shown over and over in the data from the viewers. The other thing is that there are these balls or small orb things within this tube-like structure, and this being is replicating over and over, sort of like a fractal, creating itself over and over, these little balls, and they're like cocoons, something living, and then they're coming out of it. So in a sense, it's somehow seeding. Seeding what? I don't really know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of strange. But yeah, this is a biological being that is engaged in some sort of seeding process in the sky. Now, are these things coming down to Earth, or do these things live in the sky? I don't know. I think I start leaning towards they probably just live in the atmosphere.
That's what I was feeling myself like. But it's paranormal, it's translucent, it's
That's
structured out a lot, as well as, I don't know, like, it's weird.
They're both, okay, so anything that exists outside of 3D reality, in remote viewing we call a paraphysical. And so this thing was both paraphysical, it lived, I mean, we have paraphysical aspect to us, but we're very focused here in this 3D reality. This thing was in and out of 3D reality. So it was paraphysical and then 3D and paraphysical and then 3D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was, yeah. I really don't have a lot of words for it. I don't know what it is.
And in your opinion, that's not a spider web.
No, that was not a spider web.
Because my mind, I've got so much stuff I've never shown the public, and mm-hmm. I still debunk my own stuff
right.
all the time. But me, James, Phil, a few others said, look, we estimate it at least 3 miles up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I feel that it was anywhere from half the size of James's main house to the length of it. That's what I feel anyway. But I've seen weird stuff similar, but not exactly like this. It's almost like it's a tube, snake, serpent thing, but the orbs can come out at either end of it. Mm-hmm. And I was even saying it's almost like as if it's a portable portal.
Right.
But that's just, you know, what I sort of get on it. But I do feel it does live among us in our atmosphere.
Yeah.
And maybe it's time that we're reintroduced to what's among us on another level.
Yeah, it was it was way up there. I mean, it was higher than a lot of the planes that fly over the ranch. Yeah. You know, so it was pretty far up there. And there's at least four, was there five witnesses?
There's four,
five witnesses at the time, so.
I mean, when I look at the data, I look for an explanation that'll fit the data that is like Occam's razor the most mm-hmm. likely, like a balloon or plastic getting caught in wind.
That's
or something.
Thought, yeah.
And it was nothing like that. You know, this thing had sentience. It was alive.
Yeah. Now, a while back, what was interesting is it looked like somebody did let go of a Mylar balloon with a big chunk of foil.
Yeah, we saw that.
And somebody was trying to prank us, you know, probably one of the locals, and they let it go. And when we looked at it and zoomed in on it, you know, obviously we knew that was a Mylar balloon with a big chunk of foil attached to it. That's what it looked like to me. But, you know, like I'm saying, you know, like John was saying, you know, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, barks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Yeah.
So it could be a UFO mimicking a Mylar balloon with the foil attached to it. But I'm not going to go that far, you know, like some people.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's so many things. Now, you also filmed a lot of other crafts that it's not up on the site yet. But.
Yeah, there's a lot of days. I'm getting a lot of daytime stuff here. I've got that photo of Kazekiel here, which is trippy as well. It's I keep on seeing Kazekiel. Phil was actually here the first time where this being, which was Kazekiel, appeared at the bottom of the steps in the main house, and every now and then I'll see it flash in. But I couldn't see it at the time, but there was strobing going on in my room, and I got that on photo as well.
Yeah.
But whether it's activity close up or in the sky, this, you know, the space you hold here that you're the guardian of and got here, it allows for that to happen on a collective level as well as an individual level. But there's something's amped up. I do feel it's funny worldwide, like this stuff's always happening. I can get it, you know, any month, but I usually notice in Australia when it starts to hit spring, which is spring there now, there usually is worldwide activity through into the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm on the other side of the world and the activity is picking up at the exact same time as it usually does on the other side of the world. But it's ramped up more than normal as well. And I think it's got to do with a lot of what's going on with the sun, our own collective at the moment, and what the governments, I guess, are preparing for on a disclosure type level of events that I don't think they can withhold any longer. But that's opening a can of worms. But we're definitely going into another phase now with all this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always told people the real disclosure is going to come from the skies, and they're in charge of it. And we can create all kinds of petitions and formats and rules for them, but I don't think they're a little far beyond that, you know. So but it is important for us to initiate it, you know, to, you know, exercise our own divine right to free will. And ask, you know, welcome them and categorize it, you know, say benevolent. We want spiritually and technologically advanced beings that are benevolent, you know, to help out with the earth, you know, invite them to come in and help us through this transition phase.
Yeah, a lot of that is going inside of ourselves, because the way they typically communicate is by people going inward instead of showing up in front of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you go inside, the more of a chance there a communication will happen. And that's, you know, when you go inside, so remote viewing, when you remote viewing is not really remote viewing,
mm-hmm.
because there's nothing remote about it. You're going inside yourself to know. And, you know, when you go inside yourself to know something, that just means that you're one with it. And so when you go inside and you communicate with them, it's really what they want, because you're demonstrating you are one with them. And that's what they want us to come to, is that sense, that feeling.
Yeah, they want us to rise to the occasion.
Yeah.
You know, they told us, you know, we're not here as babysitters and we don't want to be worshipped and don't want to come and clean up all your messes, but we'll help you. You know, as long as you rise to the occasion, and when you're focused on cleaning up the planet, they'll come in and help us. You know, when we make that a priority, they'll come and help us do it. But it's not their job to come up and, you know, show up and fix our mess, you know, and wave a magic wand and heal us. But if we ask for help, you know, there are miracle healings that happen with contact. That's not happening on a regular basis. So, you know, if you really qualify, get clear out there and ask for help and do clearings before you invite other beings into your space, you know, and work with the higher dimensional beings, then I think it's a good thing, and it's happening on a regular basis here. Now, some of the remote viewing, I wonder if there's any other things that you remote viewed. You had a few other things here that you...
Let's see, what did we do?
We did Stonehenge.
We did Stonehenge.
Yeah. That was the first one, but wasn't it? I think it was.
Yeah, that was the first one. Douglas has been nailing things left
yeah,
and right.
He's been hammering it.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so I won't just do the normal remote viewing, military training, remote viewing protocol. I'll do stuff like what I call somatic remote viewing, where you just use your body. You get out of your head and you just use your body. So I had tasked this one. Now, they don't know what they're viewing beforehand. They're just supposed to begin to move their body into positions or whatever. And they'll get visuals as well. And I tasked them on a whale jumping out of the ocean and landing. Actually landed on some kayakers, but that's besides the point. Anyway, Douglas, you know, show the video, and Douglas has a drawing. I mean, he's doing it, and he's getting this visual, and he has a drawing of a whale underwater and then jumping out of the water. So, I mean, that's just, you know.
It's spot on.
Just nailed it. Yeah. You know, and then with the Skyworm, his general sketch, he's got Mount Adams. He's got a subject person on the ground, and then he's got the wormy thing flying above him. I mean...
And just a number. All you get is a number. You don't get any pictures or anything. Just
give that man a cupcake.
Yeah, exactly.
Are we able to talk about what...
It's a three martini.
Yeah.
A three martini. Yeah. All right.
Are you able to go into even the meeting place? I understand if you don't. Or even Shiji, what we did as a group. Where,
oh, man, that's that just called? Like way out. That's okay, so we do image streaming. That's for training to get images in remote viewing sessions. But one thing that is, I mean, this is way outside of the remote viewing protocol itself, so it's not really remote viewing. We do group image streaming. So we'll get together in a group, and this is what we call front loaded. In other words, everybody knows what they're going to be remote viewing or image streaming in that setup. And we do crazy stuff like what's inside Mount Adams, and everybody will just start grabbing visuals of things, and then the other person next to them will corroborate, say, oh, I saw that, and then it'll begin to grow and expand. So we did Shiji, which you wrote two books about.
Yeah.
Which was, so interestingly enough, another group outside of Peter did Shiji all by themselves, and they came back and started describing what they were seeing, and it was lining up with stuff that he never told anybody about. So there is validity
to it,
to this, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's super fun. A lot of this is focused on doing really weird stuff, you know, going to different planets and
it's fun.
I get addicted to it.
So the big question, have you ever remote viewed Uranus?
Yeah.
You know, nobody channels anybody from Uranus, and I keep wondering about that. You know, there's.
Yeah, I think that's where Smegatron lives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. get a little behind on that one. But anyway, they. You know, it's funny because you know, there's. I don't know. You hear anybody from Pluto? You know, I never hear.
No, I mean, we've looked at Saturn, moons around Saturn.
Isn't there like 30 or 40 of them or something? Like,
yeah.
Or is that, I know one of the planets has got like 30 or 40 satellites or objects circling in.
Yeah, this one, Encedalus, I think that's the name of one of the satellites around Saturn. Mm-hmm. It's one of those places where it's where you fly there in a spaceship, the crew goes mad because something weird took somebody over and started killing everyone and then causing everyone else to go mad. Literally, that was the data that we got back. That place there's something wrong happening there.
Yeah. How about like Cryon and all those other places that Is it Chiron or Chiron?
I don't know. I don't think we viewed that. What was the one with the big white glowing surface on part of it? What was the name of that moon? Anyway, people were, claiming some kind of
Titan?
Alien. Maybe it was.
Titaner.
No, it was a moon that it was big white surface on one part of the moon, and people thought perhaps it was some kind of city or something. And this was a couple years ago. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, we viewed that, and it was just the planet was ejecting matter that was forming almost like a concrete surface. So, I mean, we don't always get crazy stuff. We get mundane as well.
Yeah. If you look at some of the stuff, when Billy Carson was here, he was showing us, he's found over 50,000 objects or places in photos from different government sites. I think it was Venus or Jupiter. There was like a city in color.
Venus or Jupiter?
It was one of those two. It was in color, but
probably Venus, I think.
Yeah, I'd found stuff like Venus. I'd done Mars and I've done the moon when I started my view. I was given blind targets, and this is where a lot of people found stuff that I correlated evidence with. But yeah, you can do anywhere. It's never ending what the possibilities are.
I've never viewed Venus. Have you guys viewed Venus? Anybody viewed Venus? No.
Yeah, I heard some interesting things. They say that Venus, the atmosphere is so acidic and nothing could live there, and they can't even land a probe on it because it would burn up and everything else.
Right.
So finally they land a probe on it with a parachute, and you're going, wait a second, didn't you guys just say nothing would survive and you just parachuted a probe down there? I think all the stories we've been given about a lot of the planets, their atmospheres and things like that is bogus, and because on the rover, it's really interesting when you look at the rover up there, it's NASA blue and white. And when you see it in the film, it's red. The letters are red. And you're going, wait a second, why are the letters red? It's because they use a red filter to make it look like it's the red iron planet. Nothing, survives on it. But when you look at the other data, the raw data, if you can get a hold of it, the sky is blue. And there's oxygen there, and there's terraforming going on there and everything else. But
So I mean, when we do the moon, we get sort of this somewhat of an atmosphere as well.
Yeah
I heard that.
And
Earth, the moon has atmosphere.
Ground and it is white, and there is stuff up there. But I think it's something where, like I just posted the other day that Japan landed two rovers on an asteroid.
Yeah.
And so Japan's or China's also circled the moon, and some of the stuff that I think Richard Hoagland and others have found in imagery is also now confirmed through the photos that China's got.
Yeah.
So I think the more that other countries are going out there, Australia's now got a space agency, which happened last year. But I think the more that others are going into space, we're going to start to find stuff. But I think it's going to happen quicker than that, the disclosure of it.
I know we got a new project we're doing. We're going to be going to the sun here pretty soon. And our engineers have figured it all out. They're going to go at night. So that's NASA's got that all figured out. So we don't have to worry about that. anyway, that being said, I mean, there's so much crazy stuff out there. That's going to go on YouTube, I know. James said, we're going to the sun. Yeah. But anyway, that was a joke, just to qualify that.
Okay.
So what else did you? I said Stonehenge. Oh, right. You said you remote viewed Stonehenge. But
was the first one. That was sort of what people get warmed up, I guess.
Yeah.
What else?
Not too much interesting happened there. It was really. Yeah, it was really just the first practice one we did.
Yeah.
New students. There was something else strange we did. We do a combination. So I will task on a lot of videos, YouTube videos, and Red Bull actually has some good videos. And there was this one that I tasked on earlier today of three guys in wingsuits flying into the open door of an airplane as it's flying through the sky.
Wow.
And people did really – I mean, it's out of context, right? And I noticed that new remote viewers will often – they'll begin to sense it, they'll feel it, but they'll turn it into a ghost because the context is just, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know,
and
so
I did that for part of it.
Right. You did that for part of it. But a lot of people were getting aspects of it, bits and pieces of it. What else did we view? There was the monks chanting.
Mm.
Yeah. Usually there's a lot of energy in those. So viewers go right to them. The best kind of remote viewing, I call them objectives, but you can also use target, is we call them house on a hill type of targets, where there's something energetically large happening and it acts as somewhat of a beacon for remote viewers to go to. There have also been experiments where I can't remember his name, but he'll create a chemical reaction somewhere in a city in a cooler, and then he'll have people at the same time, psychics, trying to identify the location of it. I can't remember his name. He's been doing a lot of experiments with that around the Bay Area. So Ed May. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know they've been doing a lot of the, what do they call it, where they have all the little balls they're putting all around the place to check out the frequencies. The collective consciousness. They're doing all those experiments and things like that. But there's so many things going on. I love to check into a lot of the scientific stuff. We use a lot of technology here to validate the other dimensions and what's happening here. I know we can go backtrack. We can talk a little about what I want to talk about too is the remote viewing you've done on the landings that we've had at Mount Adams. And I thought that was interesting what your remote viewers were getting.
Yeah. Well, I think the first time that we looked at stuff around Mount Adams was around 2011. There was a video, we just take these videos and then we task the remote viewer on what the cause is. And there was one where it was filmed in 2009, so it's poor footage, but there's a light coming over towards the ranch, and then it started to hover in place, and then it started blinking out and appearing in the field and going back and forth. Mm-hmm. So we looked at that one, and the viewers were describing, first off, they were calling it a Vimana, which I found really interesting because we don't normally get that language in normal UFO type taskings for remote viewers. They talk about anti-gravity and kind of a nuts and bolts type thing. They don't say Vimana, they don't say chariot, but they say that kind of stuff with regard to this.
Yeah.
And what was happening was that we got this biological type. The light is biological. It's a biological type being. It's a being that, and the viewers described this, they described a cat-like humanoid that merges with it and then flies around. And this particular video, what was happening, it was engaged in some kind of process of protecting something. And we see that a lot with the lights around here, is that these beings are in this sort of protective mode. It was actually crushing something. Data was specific on it crushing something. When we get to, for instance, James has got a video where these lights are just popping out of the mountain, you know, like it looks like a big long cigar type ship with lights flashing back and forth on it. Well, that was, when we viewed that, it was not one ship, but it was hundreds coming out, flashing out. And what they were doing was you couldn't see them in the night vision. You couldn't see them once they blinked out, but they were taking off and moving around the mountain in a protective mode and searching and connecting with allies, so to speak. And so, again, you know, we run into data where they're in protective mode. They're guarding something. They're guarding this, what the viewers are calling a gate on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other thing, so I was out in the field here and I was just snapping photos with my DSLR, and I got a photo of a winged disc which is really interesting because that goes back to, I mean, biblical times. They talk about winged disks. So, okay, so we're getting in our data, not just with within the data, but the photograph of a winged disk. We're getting the viewers calling them vimanas and chariots. The lights on the mountain. We were looking at what was causing the lights, and the viewers began to describe the lights. When they form, they move in a star, like a three-dimensional star-shaped pattern. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what that was. So I gave it to James, and he says, that's a Merkaba.
Yeah.
And that was mind-blowing to me. I'd never come across – I'd heard about it tangentially before, but I never researched it or come across it. But it made perfect sense because, you know, that was the original data we got too, the biological ship. The viewers just didn't describe it as a Merkaba then. But that's what you're seeing probably most of the time on the mountain when these lights form are these beings creating this Merkaba that they're eventually going to get into and fly around. And so now we have Merkaba in the mix. So we've got vimanas, chariots, winged disks, and Merkabas.
Which is a
and
lot
feline, and feline beings.
And feline beings.
Yeah, and which goes back to ancient times like Sekhmet and Nerissa and all those, the Nisringa, you know, they're all feline beings that were protectors of the gods.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it all ties together when you do the research.
This place is not like any other project that I've ever run. You know, normally what we do is we remote view a location where there's anomalous phenomena happening, and then we build out the narrative to understand what's happening, why they're there, and then we task the remote viewers on how do we capture evidence. And this place is so different than any of those others because those others, all the viewers talk about, well, they got big eyes, they got pickle heads, they're they're anti-gravity ships, they're kind of nuts and bolts. They are collecting genetic material to survive, this and that. But this is a whole different ballgame here. This is like ancient aliens here.
Yeah. I know in reverse speech, when I was on Art Bell show, they reverse speech my lecture. And I gave Art a video of this huge golden ship and some photographs. And he said, well, who's on those ships? And I said, when you tune into them, they feel godlike, like very ancient godlike beings. And then when they reverse speeched me, I said, Sailor Vishnu is his name. That blew me away.
That's interesting.
And the same thing with the film. They had a huge pink light coming down over a statue of Mary, and the light was bending out. And Art asked me, what are all those little blue lights around the bottom of the picture? And I said, I'm not sure. I think there's some kind of nature spirit, you know, that is around the bottom of Mary's statue. And then when they did reverse speech, I said, Mary's elves say to love her. So it's funny how the subconscious does know what's going on.
Yeah.
In our conscious mind is having a hard time believing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's what's really happening.
We were watching a ship, this light go over, except it was pointed. It almost looked like a bird shape, but it was, just the typical thing that comes over, except... Yeah, it looked like a bird. And we were gawking at it, you know. I remember we were all standing there and like, whoa, whoa. And you could feel in that ship all of the – it was like they all went to the windows to look down. And I was like, what are those guys looking at?
Yeah.
It was so amazing. I mean, you get these feelings out here when these things pass over the connection, you know, if you allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I asked them what they're doing up there, and they said dazzle duty. You know, they said we're here to get people to think and realize that we're not alone, and they just might be our ancient ancestors returning, and they give us the real history of Earth, which actually, in truth, has been colonized many times, and there's been severe, pole shifts and meteor strikes and volcanoes going off that where people had to start over as primitives, and so they. When you look at the real evidence, the oops art, the forbidden archaeology, all of that stuff, it all points back to that, the Earth has been terraformed and colonized, not just once, but several times. And, Peter, you've done a lot of research on that about in Australia.
Yeah.
Talk about...
Yeah, so this is Well, it's been done the third time was after the reptilians lost custodians for a short amount of time after they screwed up. And then the Pleiadians came back and they got shot down, and that's when Atlantis and Lemuria started a short time after that. Mm-hmm. So Australia's got a huge amount of that history, because the third time it started in Australia, where the Pleiadians, they created, well, they got the Denisovian and they created the Aboriginal to incarnate in, which have now got evidence that basically everyone on the planet's got Aboriginal, Australian Aboriginal, original people DNA. So that's just the third time. So I believe we're about to go into the fourth time now. And yeah. I think it's going to be different from any other time as well. But I just want to say quickly too, with the lion beings in the Merkaba, it's funny because I talked about that was what I was filming sometimes in Australia during the day. And then when you came up with that data, I was like, there's somebody else with the data now. Not of what I've filmed, but you will be doing something in time on what I'm filming. But
yeah,
that's just really interesting because not many people look into that sort of thing with remote viewing. It's usually other things.
Right.
Well, one of the things I realized too in going over there, Australia, with Peters, is that we went to Gosford Glyphs, and the whole history of Earth is written on those glyphs.
On the
glyphs.
Stones, yeah, on the glyphs.
And it talks about the ships coming down and the exchanging their DNA with the Denisovian man, and then it goes on, and it has the whole story about the pharaohs losing the technology, falling, coming back to Australia.
Yes.
And the two pharaohs died trying to steal the technology, but
yeah,
the whole story is written in stone.
In stone. So what was happening was the Egyptians were going to Australia. The mystery school teachings were from Australia, from the original people. And over a long, 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 we're talking thousands and thousands of years, two pharaohs that were brothers came to Australia and they wanted to take the knowledge back with them. And the original people said, we're not going to let you do that. We're not going to stop you, but you won't be allowed to do it. And one got bitten by a snake, basically where the glyphs are. Another one got shipwrecked, and they were just stones. They're like hard drives of all this ancient technology and information for technology. Yeah, but the other warlock, James, says it was actually bought, I believe, they say around 100 kilometers away. And it's part of this ancient structure. We actually held the kneecap of one of the pharaohs. And psychically, I asked him not to tell me where it was, but we found. And James actually knew the way to get in there. There was a certain way you had to get in there, but we told him just get us to the grandmother trees and let us basically ask permission and we'll take it from there. Yeah. But the Pleiadian walls are completely different stone or rock, bought 100 kilometers away. And yeah, it's got the DNA helix and it says, you know, basically everything that we've talked about from the Pleiadians to the Denisovian, genetically modifying or manipulating it. Basically to create the original people. So it's there, but, you know, this is just one part. It goes back to the Lyrans 500,000 years ago, give or take, and then it goes back even further than that, though they had bases here going back about 20 million years ago, from what I know anyway.
Yeah, I heard even the Andromedans were here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all kinds of different groups out here. And we're talking at breakfast today, we're talking about how all this is written even in the Bible, where they talk about the sons of Arcturus,
was it Job?
And Job.
Job, there was another one.
I had it all written down.
Isaiah, and I think it started with
Job, Isaiah, and there's another one in Job, too, where they talk about the Orion, you know. The
Orion's Pleiadians.
The Orion's, the Pleiadians, and all that stuff. But, but people don't understand what they're talking about, but they're talking about our ancient ancestors, basically. But anyway, you can find that replete throughout history in all the ancient texts, especially the Vedic texts. It talks about the different types of beings who were here, the different types of ships. You know, some were physical, some were non-physical, some were pure energy, some were magnetized light ships, and again, some were Merkabas. You know, so this is all described in the ancient texts. You know,
but it's trippy what John's saying. Like, if you think about, you know, whether it's Skinwalker Ranch, not that you can compare the two, but, you know, other places around the world, you've got stuff that's actually been described as Merkaba, Vimana, chariots, but everywhere else it's described differently. That's important, I think, just that. Like, it might not look it over scanning it, but this is, like, almost like biblical-type beings or times.
Well, so, I think what's happening is that these things that have been here for a long time are protecting this and using this. I mean, this is a gate. This is a, you know, so the remote viewing data suggests that we live in a stacked multiverse
And we are one of those layers within a multiverse. And right here, you have a magnetic anomaly. And you can view this magnetic anomaly on USGS magnetic maps. And what we have is a intense high magnetic field with a right next to a complete dropout. And the viewers, you know, to a certain degree, it describes it as pushing and pulling on the multiverse so that they start to squeeze together a little bit and points touch, which creates doorway opening between multiple dimensions. Mm-hmm. And so this is an important location that apparently needs protecting.
Yeah, and Rob Freeman, I love, you know, the technology when he came up here with his
$150,000 worth of
gear. Yeah, I get these stupid emails from people, and they said, well, those are just headlamps. You know, those, everybody knows people hike that mountain and stuff like that. And the place we're filming these things are not on the trail. They're not on the path. I know the path very well. And these objects are moving very fast. They have no heat signature. They're not a body. And
yeah, the $50,000 thermo camera.
Yeah,
$50,000 camera. Like, yeah.
And you can see clearly that these were not. There was no form and no heat signature coming from these objects. So
yeah,
I thought that was interesting. But you know, we've done all the research, all the data. We brought in the best of the best, and it's basically a done deal.
And
here,
Jason Cleaves, Aerospace, ex Air Force in the UK, has analyzed it. There's no trickery. It is what it is. It's straight, you know.
Man, all anybody has to do is just get a DSLR and just go sit there and just click, 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 click. You're going to get crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to get stuff that you cannot identify.
And even slow motion, you put your phone on slow motion. Yeah. A lot of the iPhones have that and other phones too. You just film the mountain in slow motion and go back and look at your footage and you'll see these ships in there. And I know when we did the Uncontrolled Narrative, the documentary, everybody that was out at the mountain that we interviewed had ships going back and forth background.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Jimmy Church had that.
And they found a heap behind James as well.
Yeah, it was really funny watching that. So that's another way. And these things are moving fast. People are saying, oh, that's a bird. And I said, well, we did the calculations and that bird's going 1,830 miles an hour.
Fast bird.
Yeah. You know, some of these things are several hundred thousand miles an hour. They're flying up in the sky overhead doing those calculations. So
I don't know. You got some vicious flies around.
Yeah, here. Yeah, exactly. It is fly day, isn't it? No, it's Saturday. Pretty fly day when they hit the fields out
the
there.
The public seeing another side of James.
Bad humor. Yeah.
It's the best humor.
Yeah, it gets a little ripe here sometimes in the summer when they're spreading the crap on the fields. But every day is fly day when they're doing that. It's pretty bad. But anyway, we've got there's so many different things going on here. I think we just scratched the surface of the things we can talk about. We're almost out of time. I wanted to what's the best way to get a hold of you for more information about your classes and
you can go to righthemispheric.com, and then also just check the ESETI website too, because do classes here frequently now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Peter, you've got your books and everything on your
site. Yeah, so ESETI Australia or petermaxwellsolidarity.com. And we're working on Contacts has begun too, and I'm doing sessions as well. And the books are up on Amazon, and we've got a heap of stuff we've got to get through and projects with you.
Yeah,
as well.
We've actually
got a heap of stuff to do.
A project. Yeah. Pete and I are doing a project together. Should be interesting.
Yeah. So we've also got, if you go to ESETI Stargate, you can see the Uncontrolled Narrative for free. And pass this on, please. You know, share it with your friends. It's an amazing documentary. It actually has the ships flying around in the background if you want to slow it down. It's just some really top people in the field that have come here. They've seen the ships themselves, had their own experiences along with the footage of the ships. So it's a lot of the narratives are very controlled out here, and this is the first one that I've seen that there's no controls on it. We're giving you the straight truth and the evidence, and you can decide for yourself. And again, go to ESETI Stargate. A lot of the footage that we filmed of the sky being the what were you calling them?
Skyworm or whatever.
That's up on the site.
Yeah.
The other ships are up there on the site. The massive power-ups we've been filming lately, they've been coming right over the house or on the site. So ESETI Stargate or ESETI.org, if you want to find out more about what's happening on the ranch here and any upcoming events.
Yeah, check out the new website, because there's a heap of stuff that I don't think you've shown before in public that I was able to put on there.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a whole new site, thanks to Peter and his hard work, and so everything's really taken off now. So anyway, we're out of time, unfortunately. So basically the message I want to leave you with is, you know, if you want to have contact, it takes pure intent, an open mind, and a loving heart. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. And be sure and qualify the type of beings you want to work with when you go out there. Because we have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. So don't forget that. And you can clear these energies out of your field. That's what we teach here. So without any further ado, we've got to sign off, unfortunately. So this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. And we've got Peter Slattery and John Vivanco here too as well. So anyway, have a great evening and watch the skies. They're getting busy. Good night.